Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Epaphra, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened. His tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. May the Lord bless the hearing of his word.
Preaching and teaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Made a statement in the course of his ministry that those who are able to hear, those who are able to see, have been truly blessed of the Lord. Blessed are your eyes, he said to his disciples, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. That leads me to the natural question for all of us who listen today on Abounding Grace Radio. Even though you may be listening to this program, do you hear? Even though the word of God may be proclaimed to you, do you hear it? Do you see Jesus? And has that resulted in a tongue that has been loosed to praise him and confess him before others in the course of your life? We're going to look at this great truth today from the Gospel of Mark, where Jesus is opening eyes and unstopping ears so that people would sing his praises and tell others the wonderful things that he has done for them. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We invite you to visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. The number's 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Find us on Facebook. We are so grateful to our listeners for your support. 100% of your support goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. If you wish to do so, you're helping us reach millions of people, even into Africa, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can do that right online at agradio.org. Here is now the program from Mark chapter 7, which I have titled, We Are Beggars, This Is True. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio.
They say that the last recorded words of Martin Luther, as before he died, were, we are beggars, this is true, which I have captured there in your sermon title. It's a hard concept, really, for us to grasp. Beggars. Are we really beggars? Especially, as I said, everyone today loves to wear, last time I said everyone loves to wear the Life is Good t-shirt. It's really hard when life is really good to think and to act and to know that before God, you really are a beggar. Like the guy standing out on the street. It's a hard concept for us to grasp. And what we're finding here in Mark's gospel is this same struggle has gone on in the life of the disciples. They just have not been able to understand Jesus. He is perplexing. They have not been able to fully grasp him. They really have not been able yet to really see him. Even though he had walked to them on the sea and revealed himself, they're still struggling with that. They had not really yet been able to hear him as they should. And I thought a lot about that this week, that problem that's been unfolding in the life of the disciples before us in Mark's gospel. Why didn't Jesus just deal quickly with it? He had the power to do it. Clearly, all these people were being brought to him, and he was instantaneously providing them what they needed. He had the power to just think a thought, and so over here would be healed. That happened last week with the Syrophoenician's woman's daughter, that where Jesus was, he immediately said, your daughter's been healed. Why for the disciples has the whole thing been so slow going? And then I realized that had he done it, you know, real quick, fast, it really would not have had the impact on their lives as those who would go out and be some of the greatest preachers the world had ever known. To take his message to the ends of the earth, what kind of impact would it have been if he just went, whoosh? We always have said that the most effective preachers are those who first preach to themselves. That way you're getting to the heart. And it's not just an academic exercise, pouring out just knowledge. It's a knowledge that's taken root in the seat of the heart. The most effective preachers are those who know what they are. No entitlement, don't deserve any of this, family doesn't get me in, all this blessing does not mean I'm automatically into the kingdom. None of that. In other words, the most effective preachers are those who are going to have the same kind of mentality as this woman came to Jesus last week who could openly say, yeah, I'm a dog, and I'm not arguing with that. I get that. I know what I am. I know what I've done. I don't have to fight that. We've always believed that for those to really care about helping others, they have to first experience and receive care in their own life. They got to be on the ground. They have to have their knees bowed, don't they? Or else it's just kind of prideful service, out doing all this work for the Lord, but you've never really bowed yourself. And I mean really getting on your knees. And that, I think, should give us some help in understanding what is going on here in this particular account this morning of what we're dealing with a deaf man who is brought to Jesus. What Jesus is essentially doing in these sections of Mark that we're studying is training his disciples. Major portions of the gospel are given to this, the gospels, to teach us Jesus' intricate and careful training of his disciples who would then take it out to the ends of the earth, and we would be where we are today from that little room in Jerusalem where these guys went out and preached. So that whatever he did in the Gospels would have to have a lasting effect on them. They'd be able to look back and say, oh, wow, do you remember? Now we see the Holy Spirit's come. Do you remember what Jesus did there? Remember what Jesus was teaching us there? This would drive their ministry. Back in Mark chapter 5, he had explained to them that his ministry was going to have a dual effect, which we've not done real well with in understanding. His ministry has a dual effect. It was a ministry of grace and a ministry of judgment. We've been really unbalanced and have not been able to talk about the judgment aspect in our time. A ministry of grace and a ministry of judgment. And that judgment was exercised for clear rejection of him that he would say back in chapter 5, remember, that seeing, some may see and not perceive. And hearing, some may hear and not understand. And then he goes on that the words of the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. But then the grace of God would be that many would see. And that many would understand, that many would hear. Jesus would say that. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. That was his gospel message to them. I'm going to do that for you. I'm going to give you a lot of grace so that your ears would hear and that your eyes would see. Now, what we've been seeing with regard to the disciples, something has been reoccurring with them, some kind of problem that we've seen. And the problem that we've been studying in Mark's gospel is that they have not understood. We are now almost into chapter 8, and these guys still don't get it. Maybe that's a strange encouragement, by the way. I think it should be. I'm a lot like these guys. You're a lot like these guys. Here we are, chapter 8 almost. They're still not getting it, and Jesus keeps hinting at it. Jesus keeps saying it. Do you still not understand? Do you still not perceive? Chapter 7, verse 18. Are you still without understanding? Remember, Peter challenged us to add to our faith understanding, knowledge. Do you still not perceive? Now, isn't that remarkable? Isn't it just remarkable that for judgment he had come that some, seeing they may not see and hearing they may not hear, he's not bringing judgment on his disciples. His is a ministry of compassion to them. But look at this struggle. Look at the struggle to bring them on board with his project. We all should feel that. They needed to understand. They needed to experience deliverance themselves. You can appreciate the shock when the disciples sit there and listened to Jesus teach Nicodemus, and he said to them, to Nicodemus, "You need to be born again, Nicodemus." Whoa. Raised in the Jewish faith, circumcised on the eighth day, did the whole thing. It's like saying to us today, you need to be born again, baptized, Christian school, run the gamut. You've done everything right. You need to be born again to enter the kingdom. The disciples needed to be born again. The disciples needed to bow the knee. The disciples needed to understand. The disciples needed to be able to see. The disciples needed to be able to hear. And that pushes the question on us this morning, what's keeping us from seeing and what's keeping us from hearing? You can see this goal this morning in Mark. I hope your scriptures are open. I want to show you this. You can see this goal in Mark by his structure of what he's doing. You have two events here. One is the feeding of the 5,000. And then you notice in chapter 8, we begin with the feeding of the 4,000. So you got two massive feeding events. Each of those feeding events are two separate sections of Mark. The end of each section is very important. We're at the end of the first feeding section this morning, the feeding of the 5,000. And in the first feeding section, he concludes that section of feeding by healing a deaf man. Now, the second section is concluded in the feeding of the 4,000 by healing a blind man. Just real quick, look over at the end of, in chapter 8, I want you to notice this, that you have the beginning of chapter 8, the feeding of the 4,000. The end of that section comes in verse 22. Tell me how similar this sounds to what I just read a moment ago. You'll see it. And they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought to him, this could be word for word with ours, except this is now a blind man and not a deaf man, brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes, see this all reoccurring again? He laid his hands on him and said, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see men, but they look like trees walking." I'll get there, by the way. Then Jesus laid his hand on his eyes again, and he opened his eyes. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Well, that's the conclusion to the 4,000. Today's the conclusion to the 5,000 event. It's the same thing. Now this deaf man's going to hear. Well, today we come to this first deaf man that's healed, concluding this section. So you have both two issues being dealt with in these two sections, ears and eyes. Stay with me, you'll see this by the end. The climax of these two events put together is Peter finally with his tongue confessing that Jesus is the Christ. That's the big moment in the Gospels for the disciples, and that all the disciples do it. That's the moment where Jesus says, "Blessed are you. You're seeing and you're hearing." Transfiguration happens. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. To get there, Jesus had to open their eyes and unstop their ears. Now, hopefully that sets the stage a little bit for what happens now. All that background, I believe it's going to open up this passage for you, which I'm sure you read, and the boys and girls, when it said that Jesus spit and touched a tongue, said, "Ew." That's what my kids did at the dinner table. Ew. And I'm going to show you something, I believe, very powerful and beautiful about this. Jesus had been on a long tour with them through Gentile regions. It's been a big hiking trip, many miles of alone time with his disciples. Much needed, much needed. He really has stepped up his training now. We're moving toward the cross. He's got to get these guys where he wants them before he goes to the cross and dies. As the Jews had rejected him, he moved into Gentile territory, which would be, you know, the whole design of the ministry of Acts. It started in Jerusalem and Judea to the ends of the earth. As the Jews rejected, it went out to Gentiles. He moves into Gentile territory, into Tyre and Sidon. You say, where is that in modern day? Well, today we're going to find him in modern day Lebanon. Lebanon. We considered last time that the coming of the Syrophoenician woman, what a training moment that was for the disciples. Jesus had healed this little woman's demon-possessed daughter with just a word, and the effect that must have had for the disciples already were being taught to learn what Peter would learn in Acts 10. We are not to call unclean what God has cleansed. Gentiles are entering the kingdom. Salvation would be for Gentiles too. As we come to our text this morning, we read in verse 31 that he departed again from the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he came through the midst of the region of the Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Now that should be somewhat important for us because Jesus has already sent a great preacher there. This would be my Bible test, and I'd say, who passes it? Who's the preacher that Jesus has sent there? The demon-possessed man who had a legion of demons in chapter 5 who wanted to stay with Jesus, and Jesus says, no, you go and you proclaim and tell everyone all the things that the Lord has done for you. Immediately says he went to Decapolis. He proclaimed it everywhere. Here we are. Somebody's been a forerunner. Somebody's been preaching. It was that man. Jesus' knowledge has filled the area. People want to know about Jesus. People want to see Jesus. They want to hear Jesus. We read that this beggar is brought to him as he walks into Decapolis. We read, then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. This man had at some point lost his hearing. And we know what happens when people lose their hearing. It affects the tongue. You are unable to speak properly. It has an adverse effect on vocal use. So you begin to lose the ability to communicate as you become deaf. Or communication gradually becomes unintelligible. It really is an awful infirmity, if you think about it. No ability. We take all this so for granted. No ability to hear and no ability to speak. Imagine. Gives us a lot of compassion on those who have these things, right? Should. But for the Jews, that kind of unintelligible speech, they couldn't tell if they were demon-possessed, and so they viewed these people as no better than the demon possessed. I want you to notice what happens. In verse 33, Jesus takes him away from the multitudes. It's a very intimate moment in the Gospels. He doesn't want a public show. They want the public show. He doesn't want that. He takes this man. No doubt the disciples are there. It's an intimate training moment. Keep in mind, this is not recorded anywhere else in any other gospel. You only get it in Mark. It's probably why for many of you this is very unfamiliar. In this intimate setting, we read that Jesus takes his fingers and goes, and then he goes, after that, all of you are thinking this is really weird. I know you are. What in the world is going on? we're a little bit disconnected from this culture. I don't think we need to get into cultural things. I know healers of the day did all kinds of strange things. Think of the scene. The man can hear nothing. As a result, he can't speak. This man had no ability to listen to a voice, and therefore, he couldn't talk with anyone. So Jesus puts his fingers in his ears. He then spits on his tongue, touches his tongue, and then Mark says he goes like this. Now, the disciples are standing there. They've just seen him grab ears. They've just seen him touch a tongue. They've just seen him look up to heaven and give the deepest sigh. Can you see it? It's okay. It's a visual for you. It's a great sermon visual. You don't need a screen to do it. See it. Eyes lifted up to heaven. I don't know what that sigh must have been like. All I know is the deaf man can't hear it. All he can do is see it. What gets me is that in both cases of the healing of the deaf man and the blind man at the end of the second section here, it seems to me that Jesus is communicating he's having a real struggle to do this. You say, that makes me a little nervous. What do you mean he's having a struggle? This is one of the few times you can get a real word picture of the emotions of Jesus in the Gospels. We can get an emotional response. He wants us to take in the emotional response. What is the emotional response? You get it a few times. You get it with Lazarus. When Lazarus dies, that he weeps. He is overtaken in grief. That's an emotional response. Jesus, it's good to know this, isn't it? You get it in the Garden of Gethsemane when he's sweating drops of blood and he says, my soul is so vexed, I'm overtaken with grief. And you get it here. Fascinating. A visual of what? You got some choices. Frustration. Concern. Compassion. I think it's all wound up in one. Why is he communicating it this way? I mean, last time he didn't need to go to the little girl. He just said, she's healed. He could have done that. Why communicate a struggle? Why didn't he just say, boom, you're healed? Because he wanted everyone here today to sense the struggle of this, to know the struggle of this. In both cases, the healing didn't just happen without some real effort and time given by the Savior. Now, we're training, keep in mind. So the total scene of silence, there's no noise. Hands and ears, touches a tongue, looks up to heaven, sighs with a deep emotion, and then gives us a word that in Aramaic is so difficult that the man's probably reading. This is what deaf people do. They learn real well to read. Epaphra. It's hard to pronounce. I tried. That is, be opened. And finally, after all this, this grand dramatic display, we read that his ears were opened and the impediment of his tongue was loosed so that he spoke plainly. For the first time, he's hearing and he's speaking. Why is he doing all of this? The key to it's found in the next chapter. Look in chapter 8. The Pharisees come and ask him for a sign. You'll notice that in verse 11. Look at verse 12. And he sighed deeply in his spirit. Then he says to his disciples in verse 17, who are asking him, where are we going to get bread and food again? Are you kidding? You're still asking that question? He says to the disciples, having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? The disciples had been listening to his preaching now for a long time. They still have not seen. They still have not heard. The disciples had the ability to speak, but they're not speaking. They had not heard, even though they had heard. The unbelief is a marvel. Training time. Think about this. These are pastors going out. They have to understand this. These are his disciples, and he's giving them an intimate moment to display for them, to their weakness, their need that they're not getting. What a message here. What a message here. He needs to lay hold of their eye.
You've been listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.
This program was brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio. We encourage your prayerful and financial support. To give your tax-free donation, visit our website at www.agradio.org. That address is agradio.org. There you can learn more about us, who we are, and what we believe. We thank you for tuning in today. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.